Well, brothers and sisters, it's good to be back, able to preach. I wish I could do this more often, but it sort of seems like life is getting in the way for me more than I probably would like. But I will tell you that when Kent republished the preaching schedule that he sends out to Mike and I saw my name next to these texts today, and there was no way that I was going to miss the opportunity to preach you this. I don't care how many coups there are in Niger this week. I'm going to be here behind this podium preaching this sermon. And what I want to start with just before we begin is I hope you guys know that anytime I preach, I write this sermon in my own bedroom for myself. There is nothing I'm going to share with you today that I didn't need to hear for myself first. So the things that I sort of pull out or the pieces of wisdom from commentators or other scripture verses that I weave in are things that my soul needed to hear this week. And so all you're getting, and I'm sorry for this, the only thing you're getting is sort of me reading the sermon that I needed out loud to you. So I hope it's of some kind of benefit. There's a lot to explore today because I think that what we're going to look at today is, for me, one of the sweetest, most beautiful, most powerful verses in all of Scripture. So we've got lots to explore. Let's jump in. Today's text is from Romans 7, 18 through 8, verses 2. And this is what Paul writes. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Let's pray. Lord, empower us by your Spirit to trust that you have delivered us. You have delivered us from the law of sin. Give us confidence that what you say is true. Lord, break the dam of sin in our lives. Break the dam of our self-righteousness. Break the dam of our fear and our doubt and our shame. And by your Holy Spirit, lead us into the freedom that you promise us in Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I think today is going to be fun. It may be emotional. But we're going to roll up our sleeves, and in this text, we are going to be brought to the end of ourselves. That's my goal. I want each one of us to be brought to the end of ourselves. And at that moment, I want us to be ushered into the freedom that we have in Christ. And the way we're going to do that is we're going to look back over the first seven chapters of Romans to quickly get a sense of the arguments that Paul has been dealing with and see how this pressure is building against Paul's soul. Then we'll look closely at this civil war that's raging in his soul that he describes. And we'll finally get to see what causes the dam in Paul's heart to break. And once we see that dam break, I want us to end by marveling in the joy and the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ as we are washed away into a new life in Christ. So let's go. Well, before I dive into the text, I want to establish the metaphor that I'm going to use for today's sermon. You see, the title is The Dam Breaks. What am I talking about? Well, as we contemplate today's text, I want us to have in our mind's eye the picture of a dam. Peaceful, placid water, slowly spilling over the edge of this concrete wall. But then, there's a moment, a crack, and a catastrophic break, and the dam fails. Can you see that? Can you see a dam breaking in your mind? Well, if you can't, I want us to watch a video. This is a dam of Lake Dunlap in Texas. It was built almost 100 years ago to provide hydroelectric power to the town of New Braunfels in central Texas. And everything was normal for 90 years. Everything was normal. This was a popular place for families to fish and boat and play until May 14th, 2019. This is what happened. Dam broke. Brothers and sisters, this is the image I want us to have in our minds, because that is exactly what is happening in this portion of Romans as Paul pens these words. And this is what happens in every person's soul when that Holy Spirit finally breaks through and penetrates the darkness and the doubt and the fear. And it's something that happens over and over and over again in the life of a Christian. The dam breaks. So how does a dam break? Well, in my family, I'm the history major. My older brother is the one with a PhD in concrete. So I'd let him explain. But generally, this is what happens. There is an engineering or a construction failure. That's generally what happens. And at first, it's not evident. But the problem is, as the water sits up against the backside of that dam, there is tremendous pressure that builds. In fact, at the Hoover Dam, there is 45,000 pounds of pressure per square foot. 45,000 pounds. And over time, that kind of pressure exposes even the smallest flaw in the construction or the engineering of the dam. And finally, with that pressure pressing against the wall, you see what happened at Lake Dunlap. That concrete slab in total was rolled over like it was a Lego block. So what kind of pressure is building up in this text today? Well, if we go back all the way to Romans 1, that's where Paul begins to sort of stack the water against the backside of this dam in his soul. Because in Romans 1, Paul deals with the pressure of knowing that God's divine attributes are plainly revealed and that no one is without excuse. And then in Romans 2, Paul confronts the pressure of being unable to escape the law. In Romans 3, he concludes that both Gentile and Jew are subject to the law, and he realizes the pressure that there's no escaping, there's no protection by being part of a special group. And then in Romans 6, he realizes that sin still wages a war, and that to be saved, you have to put it to death. And then in chapter 7, he deals with this impossible task of putting to death the law of sin that still rages in his heart. And in today's text, his final push this pressure of knowing in your heart of hearts what is right and good and true, and yet somehow not being able to eradicate the sin in your members. For now I know that nothing good dwells in me. I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Paul is dealing with the immense pressure, the 45,000 pounds per square foot kind of pressure that is stacking up in his heart. And what happens? What happens? When I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. Paul can't escape the pressure of the law of sin. God's law has been plainly revealed. All of creation sees it and is subject to it. Yet the law he's subject to reveals a sin that he can't put to death. He can't muster the willpower on his own to do it. And so in today's text, Paul comes to the end of his rope. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Who will deliver me from the sin that has afflicted me from the womb? Who will deliver me from the wrath of a holy God? Who will deliver me from my selfishness and my vanity and my ambition? Who will deliver me from my love of sin and the glee I have in condemning others for theirs? Who will settle this civil war that rages in my heart? Can you feel the pressure? Do you get a sense of what Paul's dealing with? Can you see the fissures starting to form? His dam is about to break. The law has run its course. He's broken himself and battered himself by fruitless attempts to make himself righteous by any other means. Mike has this beautiful quote: "You can never break God's law. You can only break yourself against God's law." And that is precisely what is happening in today's text. Paul's attempts to work himself to life have worked himself to death. And then the dam breaks with these words: "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Have you ever thought about thanking God for how helpless you are? Has that ever been your conclusion when you felt this immense pressure on your soul? Thanks be to God for my awareness of my sin. Thanks be to God for my inability to control my members. Thanks be to God for my inability to make myself right. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, this is the cry that cracks the dam. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, that you aren't able to keep God's law, that you aren't able to control your members, that you aren't able to bring peace to this war that rages in your heart. Thanks be to God, because you can't. There is only one who can, and that is Jesus Christ. That is why Paul says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." for those whose dams have broken, for those who've exchanged the weight of their burden for the burden of Christ, for those who have earnestly felt and believed and echoed Paul's cry, "What a wretched man I am." There is plenty of condemnation. There's plenty of condemnation for anyone who has not yet humbled himself and placed his faith in Christ Jesus. But for those who have, for those who've quit striving, who've quit trying on their own to work themselves into righteousness, there is now no condemnation. The dam has broken. And when you see a dam break, what did you witness at Lake Dunlap? After that piece of concrete was just picked up and thrown over, what happened? Water rushed over it. It carved an entirely new path in the river. It washed away communities that were downstream. It changed the terrain. It emptied the basin. And it took that community a decade to rebuild it. Brothers and sisters, when the dam breaks in your soul, there is a rush of freedom that transforms everything. In an instant, you are carried away like that flood of water over the Lake Dunlap Dam. And you are carried away into the truth that Paul writes in chapter 8, verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." You are set free. You are set free from everything that you were trying to do. All that pressure that you feel when you try to carry these burdens on your own, you are free from it. All the shame that you carry from your failed attempts to control the sin in your members, you are set free. Just as the community of New Braunfels was never the same, neither is your soul. You now live under an entirely different law. You are no longer under the law of sin and death, but you are under the law of Christ. What does 1 Corinthians 5 tell us? "Therefore, if any was in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Or Isaiah 43, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness, and rivers will appear in the desert." When our dam breaks by the power of the Holy Spirit, our souls, which are dry and barren deserts, are covered up in an instant with the water of new life that's in Christ. And while this singular act of justification is completed once and for all by the work of Christ on the cross, it is also a truth that we need to cling to daily as Christians. I know Mike addressed last week, there's different ways to interpret Romans 7. Some folks say that this is Paul describing who he was pre-conversion. Some say it's Paul describing himself post-conversion. I come down in the second camp. I think this is Paul describing an experience that he is going through, even knowing Christ. And I say that just for a couple reasons. First, because in chapter 7, Paul uses the word "I," "me," or "my" about 40 times. And every single one of those times, he uses it in the present tense. I am of the flesh. What I am doing, I do not understand. I do the very thing I do not want. All present tense. So for me, the most plain reading is that this is something that Paul is dealing with as a believer in Christ. Second, if you look at verse 22, Paul writes, I delight in the law of God in my inner being. And in verse 24, he writes, who will set me free from the body of death? These aren't the kind of things that an unbeliever says or describes. And third, and maybe most powerfully, Paul's lament and frustration and exacerbation in chapter 7 tracks very closely to my own. I know that I have confessed in my mouth, with my mouth, and I have believed in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, so I know I am saved. And yet daily, I'm confounded by the remaining sin in my life that I cannot put to death. And the reason I think this is important, and this is where I'll try to stay in control, but for so many years I struggled with questioning my salvation, because I thought that if this battle ended once I believed in Christ and I was still experiencing the battle, then I was not in Christ. For 2 decades, I questioned my faith because I couldn't put to death my sin. But if we accept the fact that this ongoing war is some mysterious truth that exists in this now and not yet, then we can be set free to experience the joy of no condemnation. Brothers and sisters, for 20 years, I lived under condemnation because I couldn't put my own sin to death. But what I want you to know is that if you are a Christian and you are in Christ and you are still struggling with sin, the option isn't to continue to sin. That's not what Paul is saying here. The call is to come back to Christ. Every day, follow the pattern that Paul lays out in this text. Lament your sin. Cry out, what a wretched man I am. And then in the next breath, say these words, thank God for Christ Jesus. This is the pattern that you follow once at your justification and every single day through your sanctification. As you grow as a Christian, there's a paradox. As you understand more about God and His holiness, you become even more and more aware of your sin. And if you're not careful, if the size of your cross stays the same, you will be crippled like I am, because you will become more and more aware of your sin, but the cross hasn't grown in your mind. And so you'll be racked by guilt and fear and doubt. But what Paul is inviting us here is to let the view of the cross grow every day. As you see more of God, you will see more of your sin. And the only way to experience that there is therefore now no condemnation is to let your view of the cross grow. Mike's brought into my vernacular a quote from Jack Miller. Cheer up, you're worse than you thought. But cheer up, God's grace is greater than you thought. His grace is sufficient to take your burden that is crushing you, that is pressing against your soul, and give you His burden, which is light. Our burdens are full of condemnation. His burden is full of freedom. Our burden is full of fear and shame. His burden is full of grace and joy. Our burden is full of doubt. his burden is full of hope. So brothers and sisters, let your dam break. Give up. Quit trying to hold back the law of sin because you can't. Give up trying to fight the law of sin that rages in your members on your own because you can't. Let the Holy Spirit break your dam once and every day. And then repeat to yourself from now until you close your eyes forever. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen.